I was working in my yard yesterday, and that's kind of where the inspiration for today's message came from. Because, you know, some people might look at my house or my property and see all the ugly stuff in it, because there's still some ugly stuff there, right? But what most people don't see is all the work that's gone into it just to get it where it is right now, right? And I mean, because we've lived there for quite a few years, and I mean, we've brought in truckloads of dirt, we've hauled off loads of trash, we've, you know, bags of sand, seeds that have been planted, stuff we've rototilled up, trees we've planted. Actually, the tree that's in my front yard, it's a beautiful, probably 10 foot or, you know, so foot blue spruce, and it's beautiful. And I planted it when it was like that big. I got it for an Arbor Day, and they had these little trees this big, and I planted it. Now it's this beautiful tree. But I guess I say that in terms of, it reminded me of that scripture, which is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul writes to the Philippians and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Message Bible says it like this: there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Jesus Christ appears. Amen. Now, there's a lot of work that's gone into my property. Amen. And you can look at that, you can get a glimpse of it, and you can see all of those things. But yet, if you were to see it from my perspective, I'm thinking of all these things that we've dreamed about and we've envisioned for years and years. Some of them are just now coming to pass, right? Of the potential of what this place could look like. Amen. And when I think of that in terms of our lives, many times we can kind of look at our lives and we can see all the ugly parts of it. And a lot of people, you know, they don't see the work that's got into getting us just as ugly as we are right now, right? They don't realize how ugly we were compared to where we are now. And I'm not saying that in a condescending way, but I'm saying sometimes that's our perspective, or sometimes that's people's perspective. But the heart of God is that he looks at the potential of what your life is. Amen? So it's almost like he kind of overlooks a patch of weeds, because he knows, you know what, that's going to be a piece of lawn, right? So it's not really that much of an issue for me when I look at my lawn. Now, it does kind of motivate me to get to work, right? But from the perspective of God, he sees the finished product. When he looks at your life, he sees the completed work of Christ in your life. Isn't that awesome? And so when he sees that, when he looks at that, man, there's something of this work that he begins, which is what Paul is writing about as he writes to these Philippians, that he is the one that began the work. The thing that's important, I think, in us understanding that is that even though we participate, even though there is a role that we play in the living out of our lives, that the one that began the work isn't me. The one that began the work isn't you. Christ is the one who began the work. He's the one who finished the work. And we have this confidence that's based in God's ability. Amen? This confidence, this assurance that's based on who God is. Amen? And this is a promise that he makes. This language that he uses here in the Greek is like a very, very strong word. It's like there's different characteristics, I guess, of Greek words, right? But this one is like about like the strongest word that you can use, meaning fully and firmly persuaded or convinced. It's the word pytho in Greek, and that means to persuade. And so what Paul is saying is, he's like, there is absolutely no doubt. I am completely convinced. I am 100% persuaded, because I know that God is able. That's where his assurance lies, right? That this work that's taken place in you is the work that Christ began. And so the confidence is in God's ability to finish that work. Amen? And so the message today is finishing the work. Amen? Finishing the work. Praise God. You know, there's a lot of promises in the Bible. And some of those promises from God are unconditional. And by that, I mean that the fulfillment of those promises are based 100% on God's faithfulness and God's ability. Amen? Meaning if that promise is made, it's going to be done. There's other promises in the Bible that are conditional. And by that, I mean we participate in whether or not that promise comes to pass, right? Whether or not we cooperate with God. A couple examples. Paul is one example. When he was a prisoner, he gets aboard the ship. The centurions are taking him to Rome. This storm comes up. And they're trying to figure out how to save the lives of the sailors. They're going to put them overboard in this lifeboat. And Paul, as a prisoner, comes to the captain of the ship and says, look, if you throw me overboard, you'll all be spared. But if you don't, you're all going to die. Well, that was a conditional promise. Well, they threw him overboard, and they all lived, right? That was a promise that in some sense required participation from Paul, required some participation from the centurion. And so it's a promise that from God's perspective, he is completely willing and able to fulfill it, but that we cooperate, we obey, we participate in the fulfillment of that promise. Another example is an Old Testament example in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35. You can read that on your own, but it's where King Josiah receives a word from the prophetess Huldah where she says, you will live a peaceful life and die a peaceful death. Well, he didn't obey God, and so he didn't die in peace. Because this promise was God's intention for his life, but because he disobeyed, he missed what it was that God was wanting to provide for him, if that kind of makes sense. And so when we think of these promises for our life, and when we think of this finished work that Christ has accomplished, amen. And as Paul is writing here to the Philippians, saying, my confidence is 100% in God's ability to finish the work. But the promise there is, it's a conditional promise. It's God's heart toward us to fulfill that promise. But it is based on whether or not we cooperate, whether or not we obey. God is not going to force his will to be done in your life. Amen? But he gives us the opportunity to see that finished work come to pass. Amen. And as we think about that, you know, Esther is a great example, and we'll come back to her life in just a minute, but I think it sums up in her life these things that we're talking about as far as how we participate in the promises of God, how we participate in the work that God wants to do. And so it says that he has begun this work. One of the things that I love about that, and especially as we've been talking a lot lately about journeys and this step that we take and this perspective of getting the big picture, right? That there are these moments of time that can be just amazing and Holy Spirit moving and ministry opportunities. There can also be these moments in time where it's like we're very discouraged or whatever we're wrestling with. But if we can get the big picture of what God's doing, I believe that gives us a good perspective and understanding what it is that God is doing, and that he has begun a work. Amen? He's begun it. That means that there's a work still going on, and that there's a work that's going to be finished. Now, ultimately, we understand that Christ has accomplished and finished the work. Amen? But there's this work that's taking place in us that has a beginning, and in one sense, it has kind of an end when the day that we see Jesus Christ. Amen? And so this work that he's talking about is the work of salvation. It's not specifically your purpose or the calling of God on your life or the gifts that God has given you. I mean, it's broader in the sense of it's the work of salvation. Amen? It's dealing with that good work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 is a great scripture. It says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Amen? And so you can kind of see that combination, amen, of this work of the Lord, but then also that understanding that our toiling is not in vain. This light and easy yoke that we have, even though it's light and easy, there still is an implication of work there, right? A yoke isn't it is a work instrument. Amen? And we understand that as we see our lives living out, that, and we talked about it last week or a couple of weeks ago, that if we can find, you know, satisfaction in sacrifice, if we can find satisfaction in serving, if we can recognize the potential and the value of our lives, that we see that this work that's being accomplished is what will allow us to, I believe, enjoy and live a satisfied, victorious, fulfilled life, because that's what he's calling us to. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be obstacles or challenges, but what it means is that as I cooperate with God, as I agree with him, as I yield my life, I find the satisfaction of living that life out. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but we were born of God." Amen. So it's not a physical thing, right? It is a spiritual truth. And I see many Christians today, I've been there myself, and I'm in this process still of learning and growing. I think we all do that, right? There is a maturing that takes place in our life where we're constantly learning and growing. But there are many Christians today that I believe they just do not understand the kingdom of God. They do not understand this life, right? It becomes something that's just religious, or that God's out there somewhere. And the truth and the reality of the gospel is that it is real and it's personal. And more I come to understand that, the more that God reveals to me his love and the power of what Christ did and the significance of his kingdom, not only do I find his spirit enabling me and equipping me to live the life, it also becomes more enjoyable, if you will. Amen. It's not something that I have to do. It's just something that becomes the expression of your life. Because see, the very nature of Christ in you is to demonstrate love. Amen. The very purpose of the nature of Christ in you is to be light to the world, to do things, to live out kingdom purposes in this earth. Amen. And realizing the significance of that, man, that begins to open my eyes and encourage me and stir my faith to realize that he has begun the work and he's going to finish it. And my only job, if you will, is to cooperate with what he wants to do. Amen. And to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Albert Barnes says it like this. I kind of love the way he phrased it. He says, "If the perseverance of the Christian depended only on himself, there would be no evidence that he would ever reach heaven." Amen. It's like the truth is we participate, but it almost has absolutely nothing to do with you in terms of the fulfillment or the completion of it. It's just us cooperating with the work that Jesus has done. It's us cooperating with what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. I was sharing a testimony with a brother this morning of when God, you know, told me not to go someplace and I went there anyway, and then I wished I wouldn't have. And in retrospect, I'm thinking, man, I should have just listened, right? But because the Holy Spirit leads us, sometimes it doesn't make sense in that moment of time. But I've seen it over and over in my life that the Holy Spirit does lead us, that God does use us, and that we can live that out. But the way that he wants us to live, this work that he's doing, we come into to agreement with it, and his Spirit leads us. And he gives us then these amazing opportunities. And so this work, all of these Greek words here, and I'm not going to attempt to pronounce them all, but from what I understand, the language that is used, or the, you know, the emphasis that is made from these particular Greek words, it's very strong. It's the most emphatic that you can make this statement. It's just like absolute confidence, absolute completion of the work, that this good work is, I mean, it's just like he's hammering these down. It's like in all caps and bold at the same time, right? If you ever get texts like that or different things, right? You're kind of like, wow, I mean, they're yelling, but it's kind of like really trying to make the point. And so what he says here, when he says that he's going to perform it, when it says that he's going to finish the work, I want to encourage you this morning, and that is that it's based on God's ability to finish the work. It's based on his promise. Amen. We just participate in it. But this word finish, the Greek word that's used here, it is so emphatic. It means that he will carry it forward to completion. He will perfect it. It's an intense word, meaning that it will be carried through to the end, period, right? That it's going to be done. Couple of other places where that word is used, Jesus himself used it in Luke chapter 13, verse 31 through 33. They come to him and they say, the Pharisees in verse 31 of Luke 13, they come to him saying, "Get out, depart from here. Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons. I perform cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today and tomorrow and the day after that.'" And so what Jesus is saying is, he says, look, this is the plan, okay? You know, Herod can think what he wants to think, but go tell him this. I've got work that I'm doing right now. I've got some work that, you know, some stuff that's going to be going on tomorrow. And then on the third day, I'm going to be finished. It's going to be completed. It's going to be perfected. When that time comes, then I'll leave. Right? Because it's like, it doesn't really matter what Herod has to say. This is the purpose of God. This is the plan of God. This is what I'm about doing. And that kind of gives us, I believe, a confidence to say, as the Spirit is leading us, there's a confidence that comes with that. Amen? That we can say, well, this is the plan. And so I don't know what all this other stuff is, but this is where the Holy Spirit's leading. And so this is where I'm going. Amen? And it's just, it's so awesome and wonderful to see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6 says, "So we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, he would also complete in you this gracious work as well." The thing that I like about this is he's talking about, you know what, there is a beginning. There is a moment in time, even though this work of Christ is already finished in your life. If we would all kind of examine ourselves, we can say, you know what, there was a point of beginning in my life, and the path or the trail may not have gone exactly how I thought it would be, but I can see God's faithfulness. I can see him leading. I've got this assurance now, and that work is going to be completed. Amen. That gracious work is going to be finished as well. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says this in verse 7. It says, "Just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love that we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I'm not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might be made rich." And he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, "But now finish doing it. Finish doing it also, so that just as there was a readiness to desire it, there may also be the completion of it by your ability." And he's not talking about your strength. He's not talking about you doing the work, right? He's talking about your ability is the ability to cooperate with what God's plan is. It's your obedience. It's your yielding. See, that's what your ability is, and you can finish that work by yielding to what it doesn't matter how long you've not yielded. It doesn't matter how long you've been stubborn or had a hard heart or had all these debates and questions about, you know, whatever. But when you come to that place where you really yield and begin to cooperate with the will of God, he'll accomplish it in your life. It's his promise. Amen. But whether or not he accomplishes it is a conditional promise based on your obedience to what he desires to do in you. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 kind of explains it like this. Paul writes to the Galatians there, he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Holy Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh?" Are you finishing? Are you completing this work in the flesh, even though it began by the Spirit? It's impossible to do, first of all. But what he's talking about is, listen, the Holy Spirit began this work in you. The gospel was made real to you. You began that by the Holy Spirit. So why would you try to take the work back over and say, "Hey, God, thanks for the great start. Thanks for the forgiveness and the healing and kind of setting me on this path." But you can't take over that work. It's not yours to take over. He's the one that started it. Amen? And so that's what Paul is saying. Why would you be so foolish? It's not going to work. Amen? The Holy Spirit began the work. The Holy Spirit is going to finish the work. And this promise is ours. God abandons nothing that he undertakes. Amen? Albert Barnes says it like this: there is no unfinished world or system. There is no half-made and forsaken work of God's hands. There is no evidence in his work of creation that he had a change of plan, or that he, having forsaken what he began because he was disgusted or disappointed, or had the lack of power or the ability to complete these things. So if we see no unfinished work anywhere else, why would there be an unfinished work in the salvation of your soul? Amen? It is a finished work. If you are a child of God, listen, you're a child of God. And this work of salvation is you and I coming into cooperation with what it is that God does. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 20 says this: in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to his heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. I love that, because he's saying, listen, this work is finished, and we enter into that finished work through what Christ accomplished, through faith, through the working of the Holy Spirit. And then he is going to complete that work as we cooperate with him. I mentioned Esther earlier, and I she's one of my favorite women of God in the Bible. And you can read about her story in the book of Esther. But I want to look at just one verse in particular. But her life, the thing that is so awesome about it, and why I picked her to demonstrate this point, is because she kind of rose, you know, from a life of obscurity. She became part of the king's harem. Later, she became the queen. And then there was this moment in time where it's like the culmination of her life. It's almost like this, you know, this was kind of like the whole point of all of this. Of all of these steps, of all these years of wandering and of journey, kind of led to this point. Because at the same time, while her life is being lived out, Haman's life is working in conspiracy and all these things to destroy the people of God. And so this moment of her life comes to this in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. And Mordecai is the one that's saying this to her. He says, listen, if you remain silent at this time, if you do nothing, if you ignore the, and I'm adding to this here, right? But it's like, if you ignore the moving of the Holy Spirit, if you stay silent, if you don't do what God's telling you to do, if you choose to disobey rather than obey, if you don't cooperate with God, listen, if you stay silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from another place. Isn't that awesome? That point of it speaks to the confidence that Paul had when he said, I am assured of this, that he who began the work is going to finish it. Listen, if God has a plan and a will, he's going to accomplish it. The question is, for Esther, the question is for you and I, are we going to participate in that? Amen? Because he says, listen, if you stay silent, if you do nothing, God's still going to fulfill this plan, but you and your family are going to die. Relief and deliverance will arise from another place. But then he goes on to say this: who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? Who knows, Esther? If the culmination of these events of your life, who knows that if all these things that God has spoken to you, who knows if all these struggles, all these victories, all these defeats, all of everything that's happened, all these steps that have been taken, who knows that for such a time as this, right now, at this very moment, that it's all led to this? To this, right here, right now. This one opportunity for you to go before the king, which without being asked, which at that time was a death sentence. Who knows that you laying your life down or you risking your life to save everyone else's life, who knows if this isn't why, if this isn't the time, if this isn't the culmination of that. But listen, if you don't, you don't have to. But if you don't, God will accomplish His will and His purpose. But this promise that He's made for your life, this work that He's begun in you, He'll finish it if you let Him. Amen? And that, you know, it's so powerful when I think of that, and I see that in Esther's life. I see that in my own life. I see that in your lives. I see that as I look back over the last couple of decades of my life as a follower of Christ. And I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that when I look at my house and my property right now, you know, it's not quite finished yet in one sense. But in the other sense, I look at everything that's brought it to this point, and it's pretty awesome. And understanding what God's perspective of my life is, or what God's perspective of your life is, and that He sees the finished product, He's not worried. Amen. He's not concerned about it. He knows you. Listen, He understands. He's well acquainted with every thing you can imagine, everything you've experienced. Listen, He knows. He knows, and He sees the potential of your life. He sees the finished product. The question that I have for you today is, are you going to cooperate with what it is that God wants to do? Amen. I've got a couple other things that I want to share, but let's just take a moment right here just to pray. If you would, just bow your head and close your eyes. And if you would just like prayer this morning, and I'm not going to ask anybody to come up at this moment, but would you just lift your hand? You would say, I need prayer. Pray for me in regards to, I see your hand, your many hands. Amen. Lots of hands. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Lord, we just thank You right now that You're speaking to these hearts, to these lives. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would be encouraged, that they would find this hope, this anchor for their soul, this assurance, this confidence, God, that You are faithful, that You are the one that began the work in them, that You are the one that will bring it to completion. I pray that any kind of weight or condemnation or discouragement, that those things would be broken off of their life in the name of Jesus, and that they would have just an understanding and a revelation, Lord God, of what it means to just cooperate with You and to see this work kind of fulfillment in their lives. And I thank You for this promise, and that they come into agreement with You right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I believe there's going to be fruit that you'll see in your life as a result of that right now. Amen. So, kind of as a closing point, I guess, of today's message, I got to thinking about all of these things that had a beginning. And I'm talking about lives, people who didn't know Jesus, that have come to know Jesus, and then to see what it is that God's doing in their lives over a course of time is pretty phenomenal. And the reason I'm going to share these specific examples is because these are all ministries that have been birthed within my lifetime, of friends, of people that many of you know, who have gotten saved, who have felt the move of the Holy Spirit, who have stepped out in faith and are seeing things happen in their lives, and that we as a ministry support these people. We support these ministries with our prayers, with our finances, and we give an average of $785 a month to these ministries, to these people, to see lives touched and changed in Colorado and all around the world. Amen. And as of starting in July, it's going to be $910 a month that we give. Amen. Part of what you give goes to these people's lives, to these ministries. One of those is Samaritan Aviation in Papua New Guinea. Mark Palm from Montrose became a follower of Christ and just had, this was in the year 2000, basically, he founded Samaritan Aviation, which is essentially like a flight for life into the remote areas of Papua New Guinea. And so they fly in medical supplies from here, and then from the base, they fly out into these remote areas of Papua New Guinea and fly people back to the hospital. They have like satellite phones and all kinds of stuff where they're setting up this network to be able to help people that would not be able to have help. That's awesome. And in the course of that, amen, they're having opportunities to share the gospel and point people towards Jesus. That's awesome. But this is a ministry that just 17 years ago started. And we have, in one sense, a small little part of what God is doing in and through them. We are participating with God. We are participating with the Holy Spirit in what it is that God is doing through these other people's lives. Amen. They bought a second plane just like about a year and a half ago. And we received an offering. We were able to give them a donation. And we paid for part of that plane. I think it might have been just like about 6 square inches of paint. I'm not sure, you know, because planes are expensive. But listen, we participated. That's awesome when you begin to put that in perspective of what it is that God is doing in and through us. Amen, right here in this very room. Another ministry is for Mexico, Jerry and Alejandra Hartledge. Here's a drunk hillbilly from Kentucky that got saved in 1980. I'm serious. I'm not sharing anything that these guys haven't, so, you know. But basically, who would think that a drunk hillbilly would be ministering in Mexico? God apparently thought that, right? And it's just really cool because he's seen thousands of people saved. We've taken mission trips to Mexico with him. He and his wife, this guy, he's in his late 70s right now. He died like a year ago, right? His heart stopped, right? The year before that, he had cancer, and they told him that you're going to die, and he was healed, right? I mean, I just look at this guy's life, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is awesome. And yet we are participating through our prayers, through our giving, amen, to see the gospel preached in remote areas of Mexico. They're building, they're going to build some church buildings in these areas where people have no place to meet. That's awesome. Pastor Willier and Mimosa Fleury in 1995, that's when that ministry began. We've shared a lot about that recently, but there's 8 churches and a school there now that we give money to, we pray for. We've taken missions trips there. And here's just a young man that got saved, and God has directed his path, and that we participate with what it is that God's doing there. Man, that's just awesome. I love reminiscing and remembering that these are all things that have begun, that I've seen the beginning of in my lifetime. Or I may not have seen the beginning, but I was alive when these things started, these works, these ministries, and that we're participating with those now. The Middle East, Jack Harris, in 2002, he's a friend of ours through Praise Chapel Christian Fellowship. The Kurds had been, just horrific things happening in Iraq. But essentially, he felt God's call to go over there. He went over to Kurdistan and started some churches. There's all kinds of wonderful things happening over there. The gospel being preached and spread. Just amazing things that are happening. That began in 2002. In 1994, Hearts for the World was started. Our friends Jan and Sydney Idol, they were sponsoring a child in Rwanda through Compassion International. Just the long story is that they began to, or the short story, I'm sorry, like a long story, we'll be finished tomorrow. But the short story is that they just really felt, man, we've got to do something to help these people. Out of that, there's several different nations in Africa where there are churches, where there's schools, where there's things happening that we've had opportunity to pray and to give and to make an investment in what the Holy Spirit is doing in these places. And right here in Colorado, Amen. That through our ministry, we give just through here to help people with gas money or groceries or rent or different things like that. But we also support Andrew Womack Ministries, which is down in Colorado Springs, Dare to Share. We give to them each month to preach the gospel. Their heart is mainly in teaching young people to preach the gospel, but we support them. Youth for Christ in Northern Colorado, Awakening the Nations, which is the guy on Lee started that ministry. This was in the mid-2000s. He was an atheist who, in his second year of college, the way he explains it, he evolved into a Christian. It's really awesome. I love his testimony. He was studying molecular biology in school and received salvation through that as he's looking at different things. But now their heart is, they have the Real Life radio program. There's a couple of links on our webpage. I had the opportunity to share my testimony, and there's a couple of different podcasts that are on there from through our relationship with them. They have a heart for the nations, but specifically they have a heart for Colorado. And they do an event, an outreach event each year here in Colorado. And so we participate with that and also pray and also give. But these are all things that I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. These are things that we as followers of Christ are participating in. And these are all things that in my lifetime have begun. But as I got to looking at that, you know, it's been about a decade or so since these things started. And I'm wondering that if there might be somebody here right now at this very moment today, that there's something stirring inside of you that God wants to do, something that he wants to start. Now, I know he started the work in you. Listen, I'm not questioning that. We're not talking about salvation right now. We're talking about something that we can participate with you in the purpose of God's kingdom. Amen. Who knows if it wasn't for such a time as this that your life is for right now, for this moment. Maybe to do something new, to step out in faith, to reach people, to do something. I don't know what that is, but I know that the Holy Spirit can do it. And I believe by faith that there's some people here that God is stirring in that way. Amen. Not to be silent any longer. Not to be silent any longer. Listen, if you stay silent, just like Mordecai said to Esther, listen, if you stay silent, God's still gonna do something. But are you going to cooperate? So I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes another moment here. And I'm not asking you right now if you have it all figured out. What I'm asking is that if you want someone to agree with you in prayer right now at this very moment, and that is that the Holy Spirit is stirring something in you, a way to step out in faith, or to no longer be silent, or something that God is speaking to your heart or your life. If that's you here right now, would you just lift your hand? Amen. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. Praise God. Any others? See your hand. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, we just come into agreement with you right now. We thank you for what it is that you're speaking to these people's lives. And Father, we come into agreement with them right now to encourage them, to support them, to pray for them. Because God, whatever it is you desire to do in and through them, you are well able to accomplish. And they've basically stated right now by faith that they're not going to be silent any longer. They're not going to be immobile any longer. They're not going to sit still any longer, but that they're going to step out and trust you and walk this out for their lives. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. We speak victory and favor, your provision all the promises of your word. Lord, all of the unconditional promises of who you are, we just speak those and release those over their lives. And Lord, the conditional promises that ask for their cooperation, Lord, they're providing that right now in this very moment. And so we just give you, Lord, all the thanks and all the praise for what you're doing and for what you have in store for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.